We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right now on Your Fan in New York City, Evan Drellick of The Athletic. And Evan, thanks very much for giving us, as we say in the trade, a couple of minutes of your time.
Steve, I have to tell you, as a nice Jewish boy who grew up in New York, listening to you and taping you after Mets games, and then as somebody who subsequently in his own brief radio career in Boston would come back from break saying, me here and you there, this is a thrill.
Well, that's nice to hear, and we'll keep you on the line because of that for the next 3 hours. And we'll talk baseball and we'll take some calls, the whole thing.
Perfect.
Listen, Evan, that means a lot. That's very flattering coming from someone like yourself. Let me again, the number one story continues to be the story that we really don't want to hear, and that is that there is an impasse once again, another day going by. Evan, are we going to have baseball?
I was very, very confident through the last 3 or so months that we would. And I think gun to my head tonight, I would still tell you we would. Ken Rosenthal and I at The Athletic just posted a story like literally 2 minutes ago.
Okay.
That what you should take out of this is that the owners don't want to implement a schedule. They want to negotiate because they are scared of a grievance that could come. Mm-hmm. If they were to set the schedule, it could be worth hundreds of millions, maybe even over $1 billion if all the player salaries were to be involved. So the owners basically had their bluff called. The players said, go ahead, play a season of your choosing. And now they're backing away. And Manfred did a pretty bad job of delivering that message tonight. But the takeaway seems to be that they want to go back to the table.
And they hang Manfred, the owners, hang him out to dry. I mean, the other day it's 100% guarantee, and then it isn't.
Yeah, there's no question Manfred's got to deal with, look, 30 different powerful, wealthy people who are saying, we're not going to tolerate this, and to different degrees. Some people might not even want to play this season. The politics that he has to deal with, I'm not excusing his choices here. You know, he's someone who came up as a tough labor negotiator, and in his role as commissioner, mm-hmm. you can argue he hasn't really become a commissioner in that grand sense of the word. He still kind of has that appearance of the tough, hard-nosed negotiator, when all the public and the people want are to hear the soothing sounds of a Bud Selig who says this is all for the good of the game, even if it's hogwash.
You hear from owners, like with the St. Louis and with the Chicago Cubs, with the cash flow. We have a cash flow problem, a cash flow issue. And then in St. Louis, he's coming out with the nose growing, and you're thinking that you're listening to Pinocchio with the owner in St. Louis talking about you can't make a lot of money in baseball. Who do they think they are talking to?
Yeah, I've got a cash flow issue, too. You know, it's a little tone deaf at this point in time. And it's interesting to me that you had Bill DeWitt go on the radio, and you had Ken Kendrick, the guy who owns the Diamondbacks, go on the radio this time. Makes
right,
you wonder,
right.
Maybe it was a little bit of a concerted effort to have the owners get their message out there. I look at the number of players who are tweeting about everything that's going on, saying, mm-hmm. you tell us when and where, we'll go out there and play. There's always been this feeling that everyone's going to be on the owner's side. Well, unlike 1994, players have a different platform. You know, I it's not working, the owner's messaging tactics. And I don't know if they quite calculated that. I don't know if they even calculated the stand that players would take here. It's been a long time since players have really pushed back against them.
Who would have a better chance of winning a grievance, the players or the owners?
Yeah, I was talking about this with Ken Rosenthal, and I don't know if it's true, but I feel like an arbitrator would just say, you're both wrong on both points, take a hike. Because there's basically dueling powers in here. The players don't have to give up further pay. That's pretty clear. But the owners also don't have to play a season. And it's pretty clear that the owners, if they wanted to, could set a schedule that they choose. So the player argument would settle on, well, you didn't make your best effort to play as long a season as possible. Best efforts, as it's been explained to me in the legal world, and I do not have a JD, that's a hard thing to prove. And you can look at what's going on right now, even tonight, where the league is saying, no, we want to go back to the table, we don't want to implement a schedule, and say, are they just setting themselves up to be protected if the players do file a grievance? Because then they can say, look, guys, we really tried. And whether or not they actually really did try, we'll see if they offer anything that doesn't include a pay cut, because that's the one thing the players are saying, we're not going to abide. You cannot.
Yeah, and what would be the owners? What would be the basis for any grievance they would file against the players?
The owners have been moaning and whining for 3 months about this one clause in this March agreement, this infamous March agreement, that says they have to have a good faith discussion about the, quote, economic feasibility of playing without fans. And so the owners have looked at that as saying, clearly, we intended, if we had a season that would have mostly no fans or no fans at all, to have a new negotiation. And the players are saying, well, you can have a discussion. That doesn't mean you have to have a new agreement. But that would be their sticking point, that we intended, and it was clear to them, that they would have a new negotiation if indeed it became clear you couldn't have people in the stands.
How many owners with Manfred, before Manfred were to come out and say, okay, the owners now, we're going to do this. How many owners would have to give the okay on something like to play the game of baseball, God forbid, but how many owners would have to be the ruling decision for a Rob Manfred to come out and say, okay, we accept everything going on right now, or we're going to play some baseball, here's the schedule, the whole thing. How many owners does he need 75% of the owners for the owners to go about agreeing to something with the players?
Exactly. So if they had eight owners, and that would make it 22 owners in favor. If they had eight owners standing in the way, then they're below 75%. So eight's kind of the magic number if there was an ownership group or set of owners that wanted to say, screw the union, I don't like their tactics, I think they've lied to their membership, and we're not going to play. And that's a big question right now, whether or not that's what's going on. Is Manfred getting that kind of pressure behind the scenes where the owners are besides themselves, that Tony Clark would come out and the players would come out and take a stand like this? But there's no hard evidence at this moment that that's what's going on. You can just infer based on the stance the league is taking, that there might be some opposition inside their own ranks.
Can you guess what owners would say, I don't care about playing baseball, that's enough of this already, and we'll just not have a 2020 season? Can you make a guess as to those owners who would be that hard line and would be for no season in 2020?
It's a hard question. The Angels and Artie Moreno, for example, are one team that were very quick to put in cuts for employees and trimming pay and all these kinds of things. This is a weird situation because the smaller market teams, a team like the Rays, is actually impacted less than the big market teams.
Sure.
The Yankees, the Red Sox, any of those teams that have so much money coming in at the gate, even though they have big TV deals, they're the ones who arguably stand to lose the most. But when I start to pursue that thread, well, which owners would stand in the way? The answer that often comes back is, at the end of the day, everybody feels like it's better to have revenues coming in than not. I still suspect that there are some owners, because every one of them is in a different financial situation.
Right.
There are some owners who would just rather say, screw it, I'll see you, and your free agents won't get any money, your arbitration guys will get cut, and we'll see you in 21.
Where is baseball going to be played with the virus in the on-deck circle?
Well, it's something that was mentioned today in a letter from the deputy commissioner over to the union about this uptick that we're seeing in other states besides New York. And they've had positive tests for 40-man roster players and some staff, and that was news today as well. That was something that was in this letter that got out. The plan remains that most teams would play in their home stadium, and you have this backup plan where if something goes wrong, you presumably go to Arizona or Florida, wherever you train. But Arizona is one of the states that's seeing the uptick right now.
Yeah, right. If you have, a caller brought this up and I didn't know, and another example of me not knowing more than I do. If, and I was using, he was asking me, this caller, if you have a guaranteed contract and there's no season, do you get paid?
Well, this is what they worked out in March. This was the crux of it. They get service time. So, a guy like Mookie Betts, who's a year away from free agency, if there's no season, he's still getting his full year, so he'd be a free agent this winter. And the league paid $170 million for April and May. And so it was kind of negotiated ahead of time that if there is no season, if they don't end up playing, the players get to keep that $170 million in total, and that's divided up differently amongst the guys. But no, a Garrett Cole, who would be making, $35 million this year, he wouldn't be making anywhere near that.
Right.
They already took care of that in March.
Right. Now, and Alex Cora, now, again, if there was no baseball, his suspension for 1 year is all over. And how, in a way here, it seems kind of odd, because if there is no season, how can you be suspended for a season in which there was no season? And yet you would think it might logically carry over to 2021, but that's not the case. If there were no baseball in 2020, then he is free to go and work for another team in 2021?
That's an unjust world, isn't it? Look, the punishments were issued based on the calendar. So when those Astros punishments came out, and Cora wasn't initially punished, they were waiting for the Red Sox investigation. When they punished Hinch and Luno and Taubman, the Astros people, it was based on the calendar. It said after whatever, the end of the World Series in 2020, they can be reinstated. If they had known that this was going to happen, I wonder if they would have said you have to miss a full championship season or something like that, but it's kind of a technicality. They said it's based on the calendar, so what are you going to do?
Here's the interesting thing, and I want to get to with the Yankees and the letter that Manfred sent to Brian Cashman, the lawsuit with the DraftKings. Here was Cora. Cora in 2017. Okay, he and Beltran. All right, we know about that. And now, wait a second, here it is now in 2018, and the Boston Red Sox, wait a second, there's been some cheating here. And don't you find it all just about, not laughable per se, but close, in that the only one who pays the price was that video replay system operator, that J.T. Watkins, a 22-year-old that was operating the equipment, and yet nobody else had the finger pointed at them. No fines, no suspension. So I guess nobody else other than the players and the video replay system operator, I guess those are the only two with the operator and the players that knew about it. I guess Alex Cora went through the entire season without knowing it existed.
It's amazing how we could walk through life with our eyes closed like that. You're right. There's something that smells off and rotten about the way that turned out. I think most people don't believe that it could have just been this one rogue employee, J.T. Watkins, the video room operator, who's doing it all on his own and just because he's some sort of bad guy. But you got to – there's PR involved here. You know, the Red Sox punishment came out after the Astros stuff. The Red Sox reasonably did not commit a crime quite as high as the Astros did, unless you take the position that any cheating is cheating and it's all bad. But if you look at different tiers and say this was the 65 and the 55 compared to the 90 and the 55 that the Astros did, MLB wants it to go away. I mean, if they didn't want it to go away, they would have investigated. You know, you investigate the whole league if you really want to get to the bottom of it. I'm not saying that every team was doing it, but MLB's interest here is not exactly a court of law. It's furthering the sport.
Right. All right. The Yankees got a letter from Rob Manfred. Judicial system, the judge says this letter has to be opened. The Yankees don't want it opened. And if it is going to be opened, they are going to, well, they're going to appeal so that it doesn't get open. But if it does get open, are we going to have some Yankee names that will not be made public? The letter might be made public, but without the names of any Yankees. Is this something that the Yankees are taking, well, obviously they're taking seriously, but we're also hearing, if anything, there's not going to be any punishment, there's not going to be any fines, any suspensions. We're not talking Boston in any way, certainly not with Houston. But is this something that the Yankees are saying a little bit more than embarrassing? Could it be more than embarrassing to the New York Yankees?
Yeah, they've already argued it would cause reputational damage, and I think you could argue that right now the reputational damage has already been done. They've already filed their appeal. That happened today. So what that means is we're not going to see this document, if indeed it ends up being released on the appeal, probably until August at the earliest. That's the amount of time it would take, and that's still the earliest point. The thing to understand with that Yankees letter, the plaintiffs are alleging that it shows that what the league said the Yankees were doing at the time doesn't really represent what they were actually doing. We don't know what's in that letter exactly. We do know, we've reported at The Athletic, and others have reported too, that as early as 2015, going into 2016, the Yankees were using their video room to steal signs. And the exact details of how it works, maybe that's what's contained in that letter. The rules at that time were different. So that, MLB put its foot down when it punished the Red Sox and the Yankees in 17 and said, going forward, we're going to treat this differently, and that's how we end up with the Red Sox and the Astros punishments here. So if there is this massive smoking gun in the Yankees' letter, the league will look terrible. I think even if it ends up just being the video room stuff, the league won't look good because, they didn't really explain when they issued that press release in 17 what they knew the Yankees to be doing, but there's reason to at least be a little skeptical at this point of how bad it is. I can't imagine it's something on the scale of what the Astros were doing, but we don't know.
Well, we know that J.T. Watkins not involved. I think the implication was that the YES Network, with some of their cameras, I think they were utilized in anything that was going on. Maybe the better question, and we're talking with Evan Drellick, who has been with The Athletic. And Evan, maybe the better question would be, is there a team in Major League Baseball that you think doesn't cheat or at least attempt to?
My answer to this is that I don't think every team was doing this. I think the powerhouse teams, the more progressive, frankly, smarter teams, were on the cutting edge of getting every little advantage they could, particularly at a time when the league was not enforcing the rules. And I do think the Astros, I'll put it this way, there's no evidence that any team took it further than what the Astros did at this point. There's rumors plenty, but in terms of firsthand hard evidence, I don't have it, and I haven't seen anybody else who has it. So the notion that everybody was doing it, I think that's a stretch. I think 6, 8, 10 teams, 12 maybe, I could believe that, but it's like PEDs. You're looking around going, is this guy doing something? You don't know, which makes it very difficult.
Right, and let's say, and I do think too, we are going to have baseball, whether it's 48 games, whether it's 50 games. What about the postseason? Will there be 10 teams? Will there be 14 teams? What is the story there?
Well, this all is contingent on this negotiation, because one of the leverage points the union has is if you don't give us a new deal, something that we newly agreed to, we don't have to give you your expanded playoffs, and therefore you lose your expanded playoff revenue. The flip side of that is the players could also potentially benefit from the expanded playoff revenue. So if indeed there is a new deal that's done, and again, tonight the news is it looks like the league wants to go back in that direction, then you're probably getting up to 16 teams in the playoffs. You're getting 8 in each league. That's basically where they stood at the last time they had offers here, and the exact format wouldn't be clear. But if somehow we get back to the league implementing a schedule, well, then you might be stuck with the old postseason.
They had, Major League Baseball gave to the players that 67-page document on being safe and effective. How practical is most of what was in that 67-page document?
Well, in a way, none of it's practical because you're asking all these creatures of learned habits to change everything. And, you know, you're sitting in the bullpen, and if you're showing somebody a different grip, you have to have, like, your own labeled ball. It sounds a bit pie in the sky, but it does sound like of all the hurdles they're dealing with, they're going to get through that one, and they're going to be mistakes. There's no way they're going to get through this without somebody, I don't know, spitting a sunflower seed somewhere he's not supposed to. But right. At the end of the day, this is supposed to keep everybody healthy. So you would think that everybody would kind of join together and try to make it happen.
Once upon a time, in the good old days, it used to be no crying in baseball. But now, Evan, it would be, as you alluded to, no spitting in baseball. How could that, can you imagine, do you think you would ever, ever see in any season with Major League Baseball players going through one 9-inning game in which you're not going to see some saliva leaving the mouth?
No high-fiving, no showering at the ballpark, no fraternizing at the hotel.
Right.
You know, the original list of protocols prompted a response from the union. I don't think anybody's gotten a hold yet of exactly what the union sent back publicly, so we don't know where they pushed back specifically. We know it was on a lot of different points, including the frequency of the testing and all that. So I would expect some of those things that were in the original document to be more laxed, but spitting, yeah, I think that one's still probably going to be on the no-no list.
And, of course, I'm sure we would never see a pitcher, you know, on the hill with licking two fingers to get a better grip on that baseball. And, of course, social distancing, no problem at all, especially with someone trying to steal second base and a second baseman or a shortstop coming over and the ball and the two players all get there at the same time. I guess, hey, no social distancing there, but I guess it wouldn't matter at all, right?
They put these diagrams at the end of the 67-page document showing where players are supposed to sit, not just in the dugout, but above the dugout, and which seats on which aisle are appropriate. And it's going to look really strange. But at the end of the day, I think most people will say if the alternative is no baseball, we'd rather have some baseball.
Right. Right now, fans are spitting on the game for all of this going on for 3.5 months and seemingly getting nowhere. Evan, and once again, we're talking with Evan Drella, kind enough to give us just about a half hour as we speak right now. I won't keep you up all night. And Evan is now thinking, you know what, he's going to keep me to 3 like he said before. No, I'll let you go soon, Evan, but maybe just a few minutes more than we anticipated.
I would be the happiest.
We're talking with Evan Drellick of The Athletic. Why don't the owners open the books?
Probably because it would give too much information for collective bargaining. You know, if everybody understands just how much they're making, well, then you know exactly what to ask for. And they would point to, as they often do, practices in other businesses. You know, the private business Seltzer doesn't open its books. Why should we? And that's a lot of the arguments in baseball. Is the NFL doing it? Is the NBA doing it? Or even a non-sports entity doing these kinds of things? But that's part of the argument here is the players are saying, look, you want us to take the pay cuts. prove to us that you actually need them rather than you just want them so, you know, you can go out and buy another yacht or whatever it is you do when you have that kind of money. I don't know.
What? How much money are they getting in this new TV deal?
The Sports Business Journal, which is always on top of these kinds of things, said it was about 3.2 something billion. There's 3.3 billion running through 2028. So it's, I think it averaged out to be about $450 million a year. And boy, would I love to know just how and why that got out yesterday in the middle of all this. Because you know somebody could have held that under their hat for a bit, unless there was some sort of purposeful timing that I can't think of here. But that did not help the owner's case.
How often does The Athletic get stories that are leaked?
Oh, schmooze, we could never reveal such sources as that. Everything we get, we dig and we scratch and we claw for. You know, we're hard-nosed reporters at The Athletic.
Who leaks more, players or owners?
If you ask the other side, it's always the other side. But I'll tell you, they're both guilty of it at different points. It is kind of funny though, sometimes where things come from, because a little bit of the Occam's razor, the simplest explanation. A lot of times, it's not. You know, there can be intermediaries and. Or one little nugget leads to something else, and then 5 hours later, you actually have something. The process is more convoluted, usually, than like the league calling you up and saying, hey, you want to write this? You know, that's really not how it goes.
All right, here's the question to Evan Drellick of The Athletic. Here, Evan, is your question of the night, and we want a definitive answer to this question.
Who, no nuance.
Who is buying the New York Metropolitans?
For the fun of it, it has to be Alex Rodriguez. What else could you want as a disaster?
How about bringing Stevie Cohen back into it? Is that final?
You know, you should plug into your sources on this one and see if you can get to the bottom of that.
Okay.
It's possible that the league stood in the way of that, that they looked at his background and said, as much money as he would spend on the team, that'd be great for the fans and all that. Might not be great for our owners. And, you know, we've had a run lately of the Astros with an owner who had a kind of checkered background. I don't know if we want to do that again.
Well, who has I can understand other owners wanting to nix a potential owner who might be spending a lot of money, because that would raise the bar and certainly raise salaries all around the league. That's an interesting point that you make. The other owners have to love the Wilpons because, well, Evan, they don't do that.
Yeah, I got to believe that the sport in general will be better once they've moved on. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. And the owners probably would be fearful of that. But I actually think there might have been a, believe it or not, for Major League Baseball, a question of ownership character that got involved here. But that might be a little sweet and naive of me, because if you look at some of the other people who've owned teams over the years, it's never really stopped them before.
Right. And, of course, these two guys that Harris is one of them, Drexler, I'm not sure with the other one, I think, but the two guys who own the Devils and the Philadelphia 76ers, is there any seriousness attached to these two guys about buying the Mets that you know?
You know, honestly, I've been so wrapped up in the labor stuff, Steve, that I haven't dug into that. I know it's been reported. I think it was Newsday with a good story on that recently, but I got to bow out on that one. I feel embarrassed and sad, but I just don't know enough on that.
No, and I think there's nothing to know, so you shouldn't be embarrassed. Now, what about I call him A-Roid. What about A-Roid and J-Lo? I mean, what kind of owners? Well, certainly, I mean, listen, if it means that the Wilpons leaving the premises, yes, we would take A-Roid and J-Lo. What kind of, do they want the attention, or do you think they would really concentrate on becoming owners who could help the Metropolitans have that parade they haven't had in a while?
Well, A-Rod seems like the kind of guy who just wants to be loved, and maybe this would be a vehicle for him to finally get there. The kind of owners they would be, the kind to make your life and everybody else at the Fan very happy, because it would be a nonstop circus. Back pages all the time. I'm sure they'd be at plenty of games. It would be great from the nonsense perspective, which, look, I'm not afraid to say we live through that sometimes.
Yeah. See, because I'm thinking he wants the attention more than on himself than he does the team. Or am I taking it too far?
Well, after you earned your first billion, Steve, what did you want to do? You know, it's almost impossible to put yourself in the mindset of someone like that when you have everything and what's left to achieve. You know, maybe he wants to knock down Jeter. Jeter's having a real tough time with the Marlins. So, right. Hey, A-Rod come back over the top, and finally he can have a leg up on Mr. Respect Jeter.
All right. Evan, I can't thank you enough for your time, and it was really a lot of fun talking to you. And I hope we could do it again sometime. And with the virus still at large, the last thing I want to say to you is to stay safe and sound and healthy, and certainly healthy enough so we could do this again soon.
Schmooze, my father was listening. The pleasure was all mine, and I hope you have me again.
Oh, for sure. Thanks so much, Evan. Be well. And, of course, that's Evan Drellick from The Athletic. And nice to know, like a number of other people growing up and listening to WFAN right here in New York City.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.